Blog Talk Radio.
Yeah. Receive his love today.
Brothers and sisters, lend me your ear. Be of good courage, be of good cheer. I hope you find comfort in these words I say.
listening to the Spirit Alive Christian Podcast Network, your global transformation station. Good evening, everyone. I'm Bishop Shalene Cook. Welcome to Wounded No More for this Thursday, February the 11th, 2021. Now, ladies and gentlemen, brothers and sisters, here is your host, hallelujah, Prophetess Vanessa Carver.
Thank you, Bishop. It's such a great time to be on this show talking about love. This is called Wounded No More, but for the last couple of months, I've been teaching about love, and March will be the last month, and it's called the Love Platform. So it's a series, and it has really helped me in so many ways. It has challenged me in so many ways, not just because I'm preparing for it, but there's always something that God, a fresh revelation that God drops in the middle of the teaching as I prepare and a lot of times when I present. I just thank God for Bishop Cook and giving me this platform to serve in a different dynamic than I'm accustomed to. I usually don't do series, and that's what I'm saying. So when God said, I want this to be a series, I said, okay, Lord, have it your way. But, you know, it always, if someone who teaches, I just want to share this piece. Usually when they teach, if they are a servant leader and walking with God, he challenges them with what they are presenting. It's not always before. Sometimes it's afterwards as well. So as I pray for everyone to be receptive to hear God through me, not my opinions, but hear the heart of God as well. Make this teaching tonight your own, where if there's anything in it that applies to your love walk or to where God wants you to be, that will draw you closer to him and allow you to serve the people that you serve in a more excellent way. So as I was preparing for this, I decided to call this theory, this section, Loving Others and Yourself in Dark Places. And if I don't know of any time to use as a dark place, we'll just start with COVID. 19 and all the different things that are coming out of that, as well as social and political unrest and injustices all across the country and in our world. But I want you to allow God to make it specific to your situation. I don't want you to be distracted or inundated by anything extracurricular tonight, because if we allow certain things to distract us, they will always be a distraction to us, and we never grow in certain areas of love and in our walk. I believe in some cases that there will always be racism, that there will always be crime, unfortunately, and of course, death. So I don't want people to get inundated and bogged down with that. Let God speak to your heart about these dark places that maybe you've experienced or are experienced or can help somebody else who's going through this at this time. It could be depression. It could be loss. There's a lot of loss going on all around us. I think that there's one out of four people that has lost a loved one or someone close to them, or they know of someone who has lost a loved one during this epidemic. Addictions are rising. Abuse is rising. I was reading an article about 2 weeks ago how, and this is a praise report to be awesome, but it blew my mind how, I think it was in somewhere down south in Virginia, I'm not quite sure, I could be wrong, where 30 children were found that had been missing, and they had been found captured because they were in a sex trafficking ring. God, I thank God for finding them, but it just blew my mind. 30 children. So there are a lot of things that are on the rise. Betrayal. Maybe you've experienced some personal betrayal, a divorce, a loss of a child, or any type of loss. It could have been a loss of your job, of a ministry, sicknesses, mental as well as physical. These are, I'm just describing once again, dark places, displacement. Some people have been lost their homes, been evicted, all kinds of things have happened or are occurring even now as we speak. Persecution. As I was thinking about all the different dark places, I know this is not by any means an exhaustive list, but I just thought of this, and I thought of injustices, social as well as political, as well as racial, as well as any kind of ism you can think of. There have been injustices. There's a lot of things to celebrate and be proud of this year as it pertains to maybe the political administration or maybe even people getting all kinds of help during this time and God really showing his hand in the lives of people. And yet and still, there is persecution in the land. And we can't ignore that. And this sometimes brings people to very dark places. Scriptures that I focused on, the first one I heard that came to mind was, love covers a multitude of sins. And this comes from, I'm going to go to 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 8. 1 Peter chapter 4, this, and I'm reading it out of the ESV. So I'll let you know from time to time which version I'm reading the Bible from, just so that you don't get lost and it doesn't sound like, what is she reading? I'm reading, once again, 1 Peter 4, verses, but I'll start at 7, okay? So the end of all things is at hand. Therefore, be self-controlled and sober-minded for the sake of your prayers. Above all, keep loving one another earnestly, since love covers a multitude of sins. And then he goes on to say about showing hospitality to one another without grumbling, as each has received a gift, use it to serve one another as God's stewards of God's very grace. Now, in dark places, this might be one of the hardest things you have to do, is to think of others, is to serve others. As you're going through depression or loss or anything and trying to manage your own internal, wellness, it's hard to serve. But I like how Peter said, above all, that means first and foremost, keep loving one another earnestly. So I broke this down, the scripture, and I went to Blue Letter Bible and looked up the verse. And looked up the Greek word for earnestly, and it meant to be stretched, uncomfortable, and to be strained. So I immediately got a visual of a bodybuilder lifting a heavy, heavy weight. You know, especially just let's just imagine maybe an Olympic competition, and we're competing against all these different countries, and whoever can, you know, lift the heaviest is going to win. Can you remember how even when they're lifting that weight, that these are bodybuilders, they've been training for years for this, and yet when they come to the place where they have to lift maybe 500 or 600 or 700 pounds, they begin to strain and their legs begin to shake, but then they are able to lift it over their head for, I think they have to have it over their head for so a certain amount of seconds, and they immediately drop the weight. And I think about the strain before he or she lifts that weight over their head, and I think about love. I think about that word earnestly, since love covers a multitude of sin. So if you think about lifting something heavy or straining yourself, but you got it, you moved it, but yet it took everything in you to do it. That's what the Lord showed me immediately when he said, when I looked up the word earnestly and looked up what the Greek meant, to strain, to stretch. You are uncomfortable. But eventually, just like that bodybuilder, he got it over his head, and then he held it for a certain amount of seconds and let it go. And I think that I just can't let go of that visual. He let it go. It's going to be hard to love people in places, you know, when you're going through dark places. It's hard to love people that are in dark places, that are in depression, that are being oppressed, that are dealing with PTSD, that have mental problems, that are coming out of addiction, that are dealing with sicknesses in their body, that are bitter, all kinds of things. And you're loving yourself as well if this has to do with you, but you're also learning to love others. But it's going to be a strain. It's going to be a stretch. Bishop Cook and I had a very short, brief conversation right before the show, and she has such a great, a funny, what I want to say, confident, not just a really great sense of humor. She knows how to take serious things and make them laughable, not be taking away the seriousness or the the seriousness of it, but she kind of gets you to laugh at yourself and so she shared something, and I said, yeah, it's a strain to love people so that you don't go off on them, you know? She said she leads with love, and it's what she does, and but she was also honest in saying that she knows that that's what it takes to serve in excellence, because people will take you there. And I said, yep, that's the strain. That's what Paul was saying about earnestly. And that earnestness in loving and intentionally loving people in those places, it covers a multitude of sins. So I also looked at the word sins, and that just means missing the mark, shortcomings, faults, misjudgments. I mean, people, we all are guilty of things, and we're guilty of sin. And when you love somebody sacrificially, you love them through things, through addictions, through betrayal, through divorce, through abuse, you're going to have some trying times. I think they had a movement at one time called Tough Love. And it just had to do with dealing with people and coming out of codependent relationships and showing you what love is. And that there's a strain on you mentally and emotionally when you learn to love or are trying to learn to love people healthily in a way that doesn't, as they're drowning, you drown too. You know, we're not talking about giving your life. We have one that gave his life for us, and that's Christ. So I think the Holy Spirit will teach us, and how we have to have wisdom in how to earnestly love people and not do things to please people, but to love them. Lord, how do I love them in this place, this dark place where they don't talk to me, where they've pushed me away, or where there's addiction, or where there's abuse, or where people are bitter, or there's injustices? How do I love myself in places where I want to just go off on every person who has said or done something wrong to me? And so you just have to have those conversations with the Lord and listen to what he has to say. Many, many times when you come to that place in your life, the word will pop up. And this is one of those scriptures that popped up. Love covers a multitude of sins. And so when we go down to verse 13, it says, but rejoice in so far. And this is about the suffering aspect of those dark places. In Christ, especially as servant leaders, we go through times where we are going through fiery trials. There is persecution. Sometimes we persecute one another. We put each other through stuff. There's corruption and greed and pride and things that we deal with in the body of Christ that subject us to levels of suffering. Mentally, emotionally, spiritually, we suffer, but we are sharing in what Christ went through. And as Christians in the context of this scripture, they were going through persecution, but it was for Christ's sake. They were being righteous because of Christ, in Christ. They were confronting just the way they lived and the things that they proclaimed. They were confronting a status quo and a tradition just because of them living like that. Christian was considered a bad word. It was a derogatory word. It's just like if somebody called me the N-word, to call somebody Christian back then was kind of like the same thing. Not like it is today, but rejoice insofar as you share in Christ's suffering, that you may rejoice and be glad when his glory is revealed. So it's like everything we go through, it's not in vain. So if you are insulted for the name of Christ, you're blessed because of the spirit of glory and of God rests upon you. So sometimes, you know, we want to defend ourselves and we want to tell that person off. And we have to remember this is part of the suffering. This is part of what we call sometimes the backlash of being in Christ. We can have a head knowledge and understand this is what I'm supposed to be going through because I live Christ and him crucified, and that's what I believe in, and I follow his principles and his belief system. That's where my faith is. And yet and still, there's another side of you that will go through a dark place as you serve people. that backstab, that betray you. I mean, Jesus went through it. We are no better than our master. So there are things that we are going through and have gone through and will continue to go through. But he said, let none of you suffer as a murderer or a thief or an evildoer or as a meddler. Yet if anyone suffers as Christian, let him not be ashamed of it. Let him glorify God in that name. Now I want to share with you a real life example of somebody who went through a level of depression, and she was serving. This was her whole life, and I'm talking about Mother Teresa. Many years ago, I read this book called "Come Be My Light," and it was a collection of letters by Mother Teresa, and it was arranged by Mr. Thomas Moore. And in this, it talked about her years of depression, and I believe she went through a really dark time right before she died. I think 5 to 8 years of depression, Mother Teresa did. So I want to read to you some excerpts from that letter as they describe, it's called a dark, she quotes from a famous theologian about the dark, I forget what it's called, let me make sure I'm saying it right, excuse me. It's called the dark area of the soul, dark night of the soul is what it's called. So, there's no sense in denying that Mother Teresa's sojourn in the wilderness is disconcerting. If God can seem absent to a saint like her, what chance do the rest of us have to connect with God? It's also quite probably true, given the nature of her work among the poorest of the poor, that at times Teresa felt psychologically depressed or burnt out. What normal person wouldn't? But to conclude that the darkness was a result of depression, much less loss of faith, is to overlook its spiritual significance. So they talk about her depression that was not necessarily internal, but it was external, because she believed that even though she was serving these people in love, she had a deep depression because she felt that God did not love her. She said, many Christian saints have recounted their own experiences of darkness in their relationships with God, but it was the 16th century St. John of the Cross who wrote what's still considered to be the best analysis of them. Not surprisingly, Mother Teresa knew his writings and once remarked that even though John's words made her hunger for God, they expressed what for her was a terrible feeling of being unwanted by him. Stop right there and think about her sacrificing her whole life, living in abject poverty. But at the end of the day, going through a very dark time where she felt that I'm not loved by God. Where is he? He doesn't love me. This is something that she wrote as she felt absent from God. The longing for God is terribly painful, and yet the darkness is becoming greater. What contradiction there is in my soul. This is what she wrote. The pain within is so great. And she says, please ask our Lord to be my mother in this darkness. She's Catholic. The place of God in my soul is blank. This is honesty. There is no God in me. This is what she's saying. In the darkness, Lord, my God, who am I that you should forsake me? The one you have thrown away as unwanted and unloved. I call, I cling, I want. And there is no one to answer and no one on whom I can cling. No one alone. The darkness is so dark and I am alone. Before I used to get such help and consolation from spiritual direction from the time the work has started, nothing. Now these are her words. The work Teresa mentions in the last quotation refers to, of course, her ministry to which she was called. And she wrote this right before she started her ministry, or she was going into a different level of ministry. She felt very far away from God. And I'm almost in tears just feeling her heart in it, but it's exactly what she was going through, and she was very honest about it. So when I read this, many, many years ago. I read the book probably about over 10 years ago, and it was amazing. And it started my journey, I think, on just wanting to expose and address where people are. So this is what God gave me too. He said, the more we expose the darkness, the more we will be able to help others through the darkness. And so when we talk about loving others in dark places, we need to know where these dark places are. In this case, we're talking about depression, but like I mentioned, a couple of things, it could be anything that's darkness for somebody, feeling lost, feeling forgotten by others. But in this case, Mother Teresa was talking about feeling lost and unforgotten by God. This is where she was. And I highly suggest that if you want to read it, A Soul in Anguish, there's a section in that book that talks about this part of her life. Come Be My Light is what the book is called, by Mother Teresa. I wanted to share this with everyone because I want people to understand that to do things without love, which is what I talked about 2 weeks ago, two or three weeks ago, is to be noisy, is to be, you know, what 1 Corinthians 13 talks about, 4 through 7. And I think that if we know that our love walk is being hindered by these phases in our lives, whatever has brought them on, we need to first of all be honest, and we need to cry out to God. And one scripture that I said, even though, you know, we're familiar with this, but once again, this is Psalms 23. And I'm going to read Psalms 23. Many of us grew up with this. But I'm going to go to specifically in the Amplified, Psalms 23 and 4. Because I like the way that they, the Amplified kind of brings more out. And I just want people to hear God right now in this moment about being, how he's always with us and he never leaves or forsakes us. And remember how that another scripture that I quote is, nothing separates us from the love of God. Nothing separates us. We may not be feeling love. We may not be able to feel like I can give love, but nothing separates us from his love. And even though I walk through the sunless valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil, for you are with me. And this is David talking. You're with me, your rod to protect and your staff to guide. They comfort and console me. So let me break this down a little bit and give you some of what God was showing me in this. Even though I walk through sunless times, valley of the shadow of death, in this case, he was going through a lot of persecution. You know, he was being chased by Saul. Saul wanted to kill him. He had all these enemies, and that was a dark place for him. Like I said, at adversity, no matter what your adversity is, what your test and trial is, or what your dark places is, he says, I fear no evil, for you're with me. You're protecting me in these vulnerable places. To be in these dark places and trying to love, and also keep in mind to be receptive to the love of God. One thing I realized is, as I was managing my own, mismanaging is a better word, my own depression and my own, you know, mental health, that trying to do that on my own, I was doing a horrible job at it. But once I started to surrender more to the Lord, he helped me see that even if the depression didn't go away right away, or the fear or the adversity, he was there protecting me in those vulnerable places. So when we go through this, we have to be receptive to the love of God, but we also need to learn how to let others in as well. Loving others and self in dark places, knowing that he loves us. He's protecting us in these vulnerable places. Your rod to protect and your staff to guide, they comfort and console me. So David had confidence that even though he was in a dark place, running from his adversary at the time, put yourself in David's shoes. You may not be running from an adversary, but you might be dealing with social injustices. You might be dealing with racial discrimination and persecution or displacement or sickness or betrayal or abuse or addiction, a loss or PTSD or divorce, you name it. Whatever that place, dark place is for you, know that he is there and he's protecting you from evil. Of course, when people are vulnerable, they are more open to evil. They are easy mark, if you will, the poor and the destitute, children. You can think of those who, innocent people, are in places of adversity, homeless people, I think of, who might have mental illnesses, are more susceptible to evil. Evil looms. But when we have a relationship, the righteous, he protects us. Even though we walk in these dark places, we don't have to be afraid of evil because he's with us and he's guiding us. He's carrying us in some cases in places where we are vulnerable. He has set a hedge about us. So if that's for you or somebody in your life, encourage them and say, even though you're in this dark place, don't fear evil. God is with you. He's protecting you. He's guiding you. He'll comfort you and he'll console you because you can have confidence in that. And so we have to remember that many times, sometimes the addiction issues don't go away until we start learning how to deal with them and get clean and get healthy. And then in places of depression, deal with it. See a therapist. Maybe in some cases people need to go and sit down and start taking better care of their diet and different things like that if they're dealing with all kinds of other physical afflictions. You don't have to be that way. It's a dark place, but you don't always have to be that way. You don't always have to be in that dark place. So he wanted me to read that and remind people that even though this is happening, he's still there. He is. And then in Psalms 34, verses 18 through 19 is another one about how he's close to those of a broken heart and a crushed spirit. So we have to realize he's with us at all times, and he's trying to help us and remind us, a lot of times, remind us that he's there. In our places of our weaknesses, his strength is perfected. He really is there. There are times when I have felt like it took everything in me to lift my head, and then it would be seemed like I would suddenly get some energy and some strength, and I knew that was God's presence manifesting in my life in a very tangible way. I knew that even the energy or the will to do certain things came from him in dark places, in places where I needed to be healed. So Psalms 34, 18 through 19 says in the Amplified, the Lord is near to the brokenhearted, and he saves those who are crushed in spirit, who are contrite in heart, truly sorry for their sins. People in places of guilt, that can be a dark place for some people too. Is dealing with a lot of guilt. And so he said he saved those who are crushed in spirit. Many hardships and perplexing circumstances confront the righteous. They do. We go through a lot of stuff. We go through a lot. but the Lord rescues him from them all. He rescues us from them all. He is near to the brokenhearted. But when you're trying to manage these things and understand what's and thinking something's wrong with you, and that's all you're focusing on, you forget that he's close to you. So that love that comes from him will enable us to love others and love ourselves in dark places. Don't forget about God. Don't forget that he's close to you. Talk to him. Listen as well to what he has to say. Meditate on the things he says to you as it pertains to the Rhema and the Logos, the things that you read and the things that he says to you in your prayer to bring you out, to put you in a new place, give you a different perspective, strengthening you, because he's not going to say, oh, I'm just going to take all your cares away. It's going to be gone. No, many times you are going to continue to go through things until you heal. Healing is incremental. Sometimes just a little bit at a time. Some people go through tests and trials and sufferings for years, for decades. I remember having this conversation with one of my great friends and or one of my daughters, and I have four, and I shared with her how God showed me. He said, where do we get off thinking that tests and trials only, just because we pray and fast and we're going through a test and trial, that it's going to be over in about a month or couple of days or a week. People go through tests and trials for years. At the same time, when you're in Christ as a servant leader, that's about your development. That's about your character development. And many things God is purifying in those places. The fire that you're being subjected to is making you pure. And then it builds humility, whatever you need. So why would you go through something like a drive-through quick and fast? So when we go through suffering, don't forget about the love of God. Don't forget about loving yourself. Don't forget about loving others in their dark places and saying, well, I don't know how to do that. He'll show you. It's not really, just be receptive to him first. He'll show you what that looks like, and he'll help you bear up under that. Because a lot of times God is like us, and he's holding us. He's there. He's keeping us from evil in our place. He knows a lot of times we're weary, we're tired. He knows a lot of times that sometimes you may be or I may be that strong arm for somebody else. Who's holding your arm up? Just like, you know, Moses had Aaron to hold his arm up when he got tired. There are people in our lives that hold our arms up in dark places. They hold us up. They speak life over our situation, and they speak life over us, just like we can do the same for them. Sometimes it doesn't mean you have to get, you can be hands-on. You may not have the ability to be hands-on in the situation. But if God is leading you to serve in that capacity in their dark place, you definitely don't judge. You definitely don't think that you can fix it. And you definitely let God be God in their life. You can lead them to water, but you can't make them drink. You can be there to direct them, but they can still say, I'm going to go the opposite. And you have to realize, okay, God, what is love? He'll give you patience. He'll give you strength. He'll give you clarity in these areas. And please let me remind you, this is not easy. It goes back to that word earnestly in 1 Peter, to stretch. It is uncomfortable, like you would not believe. I often wonder, when these bodybuilders get done lifting this great weight, and sometimes they, you know, they win and sometimes they don't, they place, sometimes they don't place, what their body feels like after they're done. After years and months of training and they don't win, how do they feel? You know what I mean? So we have to remember that whatever God leads us to do, there's no failure in that, no matter what the outcome may be. Love covers a multitude of sin. We're supposed to be a lot of times, many times, the intercession and intercessors in people's lives where there is no love, or they don't know how to love, or there's no capacity to love. Loving others in dark places. If this is not, this time that we live in is full of a multitude of opportunities to love people in dark places of loneliness, of depression, loss, abuse, betrayal. And say, Lord, how do I do this your way? Because some people will tell you, well, if you did this and if they did that, then I wouldn't feel this way. And to some degree, you have to say, okay, I get it. But you have to say, Lord, if this is you wanting me to serve, how do you want me to show love in this situation? And there may be times where he say, yeah, do this or do this based on what that person has asked or what that person desires. But then you really have to listen to God, because people, you can't be you can't be trying to please people, because it's, first of all, it's impossible. Second of all, you'll get caught up in traps when you are seeking to please people. So you have to say, how do I love them, Lord, your way? And he'll show you, and keep it simple. And sometimes it will coincide with some of their desires, and sometimes it won't. And you just have to say, that's okay, I got peace. I did what God told me to do, and I did it how he told me to do it. And that's the end of it. Because like I said, people can be messy, and sometimes what you do for them and you know you're being led is not enough, especially when people are in dark places. I also wanted to, there are many books that I've read over the years about forgiveness and patience. And one of the best books I've read in a while, or had, and I remember reading it, but then it's been so long, it's called The Sunflower, and it's by Simon Wiesenthal. And he was a Holocaust survivor. He wrote this book about, and he asked all these accomplished leaders, political leaders, and influential people at the time. It was about 53 of them, and he asked them about forgiveness. He asked, and he took it from a reference in his own life, how when he was in a concentration camp, there was a SS officer who was dying and on his deathbed, and he had a Christian faith, and he believed before he died he needed to ask forgiveness for all the things that he had done to the Jewish prisoners that he was over. And so he picked out Mr. Simon Wiesenthal, and at the time I think he was a young man, and he asked him to his deathbed, and he said, "I want you to represent all the Jewish people that I have persecuted and killed, and I'm asking forgiveness, and do you forgive me?" And I believe he said yes, but reflecting on that lesson, he felt sympathy for the man, and he said yes, but that brought him into a philosophical place, and he wrote a whole book about it. And so here you have all these people giving their reasons for forgiveness or unforgiveness or whatever it is, but it's a very great study on forgiveness. And really, at the end of the day, I think it's about love. I think it's about moving on. So however God deals with you, let him lead you to all types of different examples of loving people in dark places. When people have hurt you, killed you. Now, they killed off his whole family. His whole family was killed.
Yeah.
And here you have a man saying, "I need you to forgive me." Seems somewhat selfish and self-centered for the wrong that I've done. But that was such a great burden on this man's heart that even to the point where after he left, he still dealt with that, still dealt with, should I have forgiven him? Did he deserve forgiveness? He definitely didn't represent all the evil that he continued to see even after the fact. So that's why we have to have the Holy Spirit, everyone. Yes, because some things are not in us. I don't believe we have the capacity. So we have to have the Holy Spirit to help us in those places of humility, and to, especially as servant leaders,
yes,
to make a difference in this world. And I believe he made a great, Simon Wiesenthal was a great humanitarian and author, and one that spoke about his experiences. And I just want everyone to realize how humility is a great part of this. I'm going to give you a definition of the word humility once again. It's a modest and low view of one's own importance. And so
that's
when
right.
We talk about freedom, and so one of the ways we love ourselves, especially when it comes to loving others in dark places, is forgetting about yourself in that place. And that word earnest comes back to me, stretching
yes.
and straining forward. To not think about yourself, to not be in a place of self-preservation when you're dealing with these things. And so that let that abundant, it's really a divine thing of humility, come over you and show love and no selfish ambition. And in some cases it will be and feel sacrificial in nature. This is another example of it too. In James 5:20. We're going to go to that real quick and read, amplified. Let the latter one know that the one who has turned his sinner from the error of his way will save that one's soul from death and cover a multitude of sins. That is to obtain the pardon of the many sins committed by the one who has been restored. And it goes right into what I just got done talking about with the sunflower, the book. That takes strength like you would not believe. That takes generous, more than a generous spirit in the natural. There's so many things that people do, humanitarian and moral, but that takes the Holy Spirit, if you ask me. So to be able to deal with that person and see that person as a soul first. You know how some people say, well, that's a soul.
Yes.
So if I see them wandering off from a place of sin, I have to love them enough and not look at the sin, and maybe be the one to win them back. And so
Amen. This
is what I mean about dark places. Those dark places can take you in very obscure, dangerous places and areas in your mind as well as physically. Who would be the one to go out and get them? Who would be the one to be there to speak life to them in places that they would never find themselves in the personally, but they are winning souls. So it says love covers a multitude of sin. You're committed to that. I think of evangelists when I think of the different types of evangelism that go on and the things that we do. Don't forget to forgive and how important that is, and to be patient in all of these things. And know that we share in the sufferings of Christ. Sometimes we go through things, and this is part of the suffering part, but don't forget about the loving of yourself and others. And do some extracurricular reading. The Bible is first and foremost, but read how other humans, especially those who were servant leaders in different forms and different demographics in the world historically, how they served and how they dealt with forgiveness and how they dealt with love or lack thereof, being receptive of it or whether they got it, whether they are of our faith or not. I think there's great things that we can learn from the human spirit and really how God is in it, whether they recognize him as or not. That's all I have tonight. And this is really
glory
a whole
God.
Lot. I
Hallelujah.
Thank God for the opportunity.
Oh, God bless you. It is my privilege and pleasure. And the people of God were thoroughly blessed on tonight. So we do have a few moments left. So if you are in here and you have a comment or question, you are more than if you're in the studio, press your 1, and I'll address you by your area code and the last 4 digits of your phone number. If you're in the chat room, you can type your message, and I will relay it to Prophetess Vanessa. I just want to say you are so right. I'm just enjoying these lessons of the love platform, because especially when it comes to loving others in a dark place, you know, many of us might have parents who are aging, they are in pain, you know, and they can be difficult. Or maybe we're dealing with servant leaders, other servant leaders who may be older than we are. And, you know, we may see them in a place that's not a good place for them to be. But you do have to have the Holy Spirit, and you do definitely have to lead with love. One of the things I always remember is what the Word of God says when dealing with my elders is, honor thy mother and thy father, and it will go well with thee, or your days will be long upon the earth. And, you know, I look at how the Lord tells us not to admonish our elders. You know, but if we see where there's an area of correction, you know, I'm going to love them enough to pray for them. And if, you know, and I'm definitely going to speak to the Holy Spirit on how to approach them with love, dignity, and the proper respect. So, you know, we really do need to pray according to the Spirit and about loving people that are now in a dark place, because maybe they weren't always that way. And we have a hard time understanding, you know, now why they may be so bitter or so negative or so, you know, but we have to love, as Prophet said, we have to love them through that. We have to love them regardless. Or you may be dealing with a parent that has the early onslaught of dementia. They might not always remember who you are. So they can be combative, they can be difficult, but we have to love, we have to lead with love, because I believe when we lead with love, we lead with Christ. Now, I see that Apostle Zeta Flowers is in the house, and we do have a few minutes, about 5 of them. Apostle Zeta, would you like to have a word, ma'am?
Yes, I will. I'm just going to leave the room that I'm in. Okay. Yes, this was a wonderful message. I enjoyed it, and it was such a blessing to hear, and for others to hear and be reminded of how we should be toward those that may be unloving. We need to rely on the Holy Spirit. You brought that out.
Yes.
We need to be sensitive toward those who are unloving. We need to be sensitive to the Holy Spirit
Always.
We have to ask God at times to allow us or to allow me to see others as you see them.
See them,
you know,
yes.
That will help because, you know, somebody may be acting up and all out of sorts and everything. We don't know what they went through.
What's going on?
We don't know what
Amen.
They're continuing to go through.
Right.
But we
yes,
need
Amen.
To be sensitive toward them and not treat them by the actions that are coming forth out of them, but to treat them as God would treat them. To
Amen.
You know, to
That's
pray
good.
Pray with them, to do whatever we need to
pray
do and
them.
Know to do. Because when we know to do good, then that's what we need to do. So
yes, ma'am.
I know my time is up, but that's what I, you know, just remember to love everybody, you know.
Yes.
Don't choose who we're going to love, but love everybody.
No.
Amen.
It was. Jesus didn't qualify who he loved. When he gave us that command, he said, a new commandment I've given unto you. Love one another as I first loved you, and by this they will know you are my disciples. And he didn't say love one another unless they don't look like you or they don't believe
right.
like you or act like you. He said to love, and that's his command. And he said he is love. And you know, we can't go around talking about we love him, but we don't love our brothers. He said, how can you love me who you can't see when you don't even love your brother who you can't see? So we need to remember, you know, if we truly believe that God loves us, then we need to demonstrate. The way I feel is God loves me so much, and he has shown me his love through his people so much that I know I can't love others as he loves us, but I'm sure going to give it a good shot. So we just want to thank you for listening to Wounded No More, the Love Platform with Prophetess Vanessa Carver. She will be back. Hallelujah. Tune in. She's on every first and third, second and fourth Thursdays of each and every month. She is a just a beautiful, beautiful and anointed woman of God. And we just enjoy you every time you're on. So I just want to say thank you once again for that beautiful rhema word that went out on tonight. And just keep on doing what you're doing, mighty woman of God, because I just truly believe that God loves you and he is well pleased with you. Hallelujah. So this has been Bishop Shalene Cook and Prophetess Vanessa Carver for Wounded No More. We pray that you continue to walk with us here on the Spirit Alive Network. Tomorrow, tune in for Every Man Standing in His Place with Pastor Jeffrey Scott. Hallelujah and glory to God. We pray that you continue to acknowledge Christ in all that you do, and from our household to yours, it is our fervent prayer that you be ye transformed. Good night, everyone, and God bless you. Amen.
Thank you.
Thank you so much. Good night.
Good night.